This teaching is from City Church Coventry. You can find us online at www.citychurchcoventry.org.
Well, it's going to be a very good morning.
Excellent.
I know that something's going to be established here this morning, because the word says where out of the mouth are two or three witnesses, it is established.
Yeah.
And we've already heard that we have overcome. Because Jesus has died on the cross for us. And we're to be overcomers. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. It's about fighting the good faith and living a life that is overcoming. Living in the good of what He's already done for us. So when we started singing that, I thought, oh, thank you, Jesus. He's confirmed to me that what I have is good, is right. It's all from the Word. And I believe that I'm going to be blessed. I'm speaking to myself. And I believe that you're going to be blessed. I believe that what I'm going to share to you is for you corporately. It's for you individually, that we can take this and apply it to our lives very practically and apply it to our church and apply it to our families. And we're going to have some fun as well. I believe God is a fun God. I believe that He is funny. I believe that He's a God of excitement. I believe that He wants us to have a good time in His presence. So therefore, it's going to continue on. It's not just for worship, it's for the Word as well. We're going to have a good time. If you want to turn to 1 Timothy 6:11. And it's a letter from Paul to Timothy. And we heard Matthew, he already said that Jesus had told the disciples previously in the Gospels, he said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome. And that is the overlying verse right now that I believe for us this morning, that we need to remember that He's already done it for us. That in this world we will have trouble, but He has overcome, so we can take heart. And Paul, he encourages Timothy in this first letter, and he says in 1 Timothy 6:11-16, he says, "But as for you, O men of God, flee from these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." And Paul's encouraging Timothy here to fight the good fight of faith. And as Matthew said previously, we're going to have tough days. We will. We're not immune to trouble in this world. Jesus told us that. And he encourages us to take heart. And Paul here is saying, fight the good fight of faith. And he's encouraging Timothy to fight this good fight of faith, because in this world we are going to need to fight. We are going to need to be people of perseverance and endure to see the things of God come to fruition in our lives. And we need to stand firm in these things. And I believe that right now, for the Church of Christ, for the Church of Jesus Christ, He's calling us, He's given us a call to arms.
Yes.
And I believe for you here in Coventry, there's a call to arms. There's a call to take up that which He's given you and fight the good fight. There's a call to step up and take what belongs to Jesus, to take what He has promised, to step up and be soldiers of Christ.
Yes.
There's many times in the Gospels where Paul, he's speaking about different people. In Philemon 1:1, he says, in greeting the brothers, he says, greet Acrippus, our fellow soldier. In 2 Timothy 2:3, he says, share in the suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. In Philippians 2:24, he says, I have thought it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier. He's calling these people fellow soldiers. And I believe that we are called to be soldiers of Christ. When we become a Christian, yes, we become a friend of God. We become a son of God. We become a servant of Christ. But we become a soldier of the King of Kings. And that's exciting. I mean, I don't know if it's just me, the male in me that loves sort of action movies, and I love things like The Gladiator and movies like that where there's these epic battles and things. And you know what? We're called to fight the good fight. We're called to take up that which God has given us and fight this good fight. And it's not a physical battle. We're not called to go out and fight physically, but it is a spiritual battle. And if you want to turn to Ephesians 6, it says in verse 10, it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places." And in Zechariah it says, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. It says, "Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." And it's a war to see his kingdom and righteousness displayed in all the earth as the waters cover the seas. Yeah. It's to come against the darkness of the enemy and bring the light of Jesus, to bring the love of God wherever we go. Amen. It's to fight against all that doesn't line up with the King and his kingdom and bring all that does line up with the King and his kingdom. That we would be a people that would clear the way for Jesus to come in his fullness. Right, yeah. He's called us to arms.
Yes,
and that excites me. That he's chosen each and every one of us sitting in this room to be soldiers of the living King. None of us is exempt. None of us. And the good news is that we win. We already know the end.
Amen.
We already know the end is that we win, that he's already won it for us.
Yeah.
And I know when we watch movies and we're watching these epic war movies and any movie in particular, I hate it when somebody tells me the end because it ruins it for me totally. It totally ruins it. I know there is somebody sitting, well, they're not sitting in this room at the minute, where they watch 24 and they get too, somebody's laughing at the back there, they get too nervous, so they want to see what happens at the end. And so they check to see what happens at the end so that when they're actually watching it, there would be no nerves or anything like that because it's just too intense. I won't name any names, but it rhymes with Posey Dole. She's not in this room at the minute. She wouldn't mind me saying that. But we already know the end. And that's great. That is great because it's good news. It's good news to us. It doesn't ruin it for us.
Yeah.
It doesn't ruin us living here on earth. It doesn't ruin our life with Jesus. It doesn't ruin it for us that we know the end result. In John 16, it says, "I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world, you may have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." In Revelation 5:10, it says that we're called to reign on this earth. Satan is defeated. Jesus has already destroyed the works of the devil. That's why he came, to destroy the works of the devil, it says in 1 John 3:8. And that's great news. It's great news for us. Death is swallowed up in victory, and he gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. Although he has won already, we need to walk in that victory each and every day. As Matthew said, we are going to have trouble. We are going to have trouble in this world, but we're to overcome. We're to overcome, to be a people who fight the good fight of faith. And so, we're going to look at the life of Joshua. He's one of my favorites in the Bible. He's a great man of God in the Old Testament. He's Moses' aide. He's a military commander of Israel in the Old Testament. Joshua led the Israelites on their campaign to take the promised land. He conquered six nations and 31 kings fell to them. 31. This guy knew how to fight the good fight. This guy was used to battle and his fight was physical. But I believe that we can look at his life and take things from his life to apply it to ours in the spiritual now.
Yeah.
To be a people who overcome.
Yeah.
And I loved yesterday, if you were there yesterday at the National Day of Prayer, and we were encouraged to be overcomers, to live a life of overcoming. And I was glad when I heard that because Brian Schutt gave me some more material yesterday. It was great, and it was great to know that God was confirming again his word to me. But if you want to turn to Joshua 1, we're going to start by looking at Joshua's call. When he was called to step up and lead Israel. And when God commissions Joshua. Joshua is a really cool guy. I love the life of Joshua. I'd encourage anyone to read the book of Joshua. Joshua is also seen in the book of Exodus. He's also seen beforehand in other books. I would encourage you to read the life of Joshua because it will encourage you as you read what he has done, because you can apply it to your life. We're going to look at a few things in his life today. And if you turn to Joshua 1, verse 1, and I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 9. It says this: "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.'" Amen. This is amazing. You know, Joshua is called to step up, arise, take the place of Moses and lead the people of Israel. And three times we see here, God's trying to put something across to Joshua. He says, "Be strong and courageous." Yeah. Be strong and courageous. One time he says, "Be strong and very courageous." He's trying to get across to Joshua, be strong and be courageous. And to fight the good fight of faith, we need to be men and women who are strong and courageous. Yes. God wants us to be strong and courageous. Strong and courageous. He said, "Look, Joshua, this is a big calling to fill. This is an adventure. It will be hard at times, so be bold and be courageous." Yes. Be strong and courageous. To be a soldier of the king and to be a man or woman that takes cities, to take land, to fight the good fight of faith, we need to be a people that are bold and courageous. In Proverbs 21, it says the righteous are as bold. Proverbs 28, it says the righteous are as bold as lions. How many of you are righteous here this morning? Jesus has made us righteous. So therefore, you are as bold as a lion. As bold as a lion. Joshua 1:9, it says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." What an incredible promise. I will be with you wherever you go. That's God speaking to Joshua. "Look, I'm with you wherever you go. Be strong and courageous." Why can you be strong and courageous? Because I'm with you. I'm with you wherever you go. And we have the same promise. We have the exact same promise. If you want to turn to John 14, Jesus gives us the same promise, which is incredible. John 14, verse 15. Says this: "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." And this is, he's talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on, he says, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit here, and he's saying, you know what, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to the Father, but I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And we're called to be filled with the Spirit in the Bible. If you want to read more about that in Acts, you'll see that there. But he's not left us as orphans. He's given us the same promise as he did to Joshua. He says, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you always. The great thing about this is when he asks us to be bold and courageous, we know that we can be because he is with us. And we know that because he's already won it and he's already overcome the world, then we can take heart. In Romans 8:26, it says, if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? In Romans 8:37, it says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. When you come into relationship with God, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing can separate you from the love of God because he is with you always. And if God is for you, who can be against you? So therefore, be strong and courageous, people of God. Be strong and courageous. Be bold. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. In verse 3 of Joshua, if you want to go back to Joshua 1. Sorry, I should have said keep your finger in there. And these things, you know what, you probably have heard these before. This isn't new to you. But the Word of God is always fresh when it comes. You can always get something new. And when I read this, these were things that I've already been told before, but I got fresh revelation. It's not like the things in the natural where you get told something over and over again. Like if you're on a plane, they go through that whole spiel that you hear 100 million times. This is where the exits are, and this is how you do up the belt of your seat. As if I haven't been around in the last 30 years. Oh, I was trying to tie the belt together. I didn't know that you had to clip it. Oh, that's how you take it apart. I was trying to gnaw it off with my teeth. It's not like that, okay? When you hear the Word of God, it comes fresh. It comes new. And you can get something new. And these are things that you already know. I know you're living in. But I just want to encourage you afresh. And in Joshua 1, verse 3, it says, every place that the sole of your feet will tread upon, I have given you, just as I promised to Moses. Every place. In Matthew 28, it says, go into all the nations. In Acts 1, it says, you'll be filled with power on high, and you will be my witnesses in Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the world, Jerusalem. Go and make disciples of all nations. And Jesus says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's that promise again, just as he gave to Joshua. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Go into all the nations. And I know you're a church that reaches out. I've heard things where you go out and you worship in the city, and I know you have open homes and you are people that reach out. God is with you. God is with you. And just as he called Joshua to take the land, and he said to Joshua, every place where you step, every place where the sole of your foot treads is yours, just as I commanded to Moses. You guys are here in Coventry for a purpose. You wouldn't be living here if God didn't want you to see people saved here, added here. You wouldn't be living here. And that excites me because I know you're going to take this city by storm. In John 4:35 it says, "Do you not say, there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest." We are called to go out and take cities for Jesus. And part of the fighting the good fight is, yes, in our personal lives where we have to overcome things. We are fighting the good fight. But I believe corporately, God's calling us to take more land. That the call to arms is to go out and take more land. And that is by the love of Christ. And that is by sharing the good news. And that is by bringing the gospel. But we need to understand that the fields are white for harvest. We need to know that He is with us. And He will give us the places He has promised. We need to be bold in our evangelism, in bringing the gospel, bold in our love, courageous in showing love to people.
Yes.
Unhindered love, not having any preconceived ideas when you look at somebody, but just giving love, 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 love. That's the greatest weapon we have, is the love of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Again, we're not fighting a physical battle, it is a spiritual battle. Yes, individually, but together we can show the love of God to people. Because it is so powerful. We need to stand firm in what He's given us, in the promises that He's given us. In Joshua 1, God says to Joshua, "Moses, my servant, is dead." Moses is dead. Moses is dead. Now arise, it's your turn. Moses is dead. These are some big shoes to fill. If you read the life of Moses, Moses did some incredible things for Jesus, for God. He did some incredible things for God. And this was a guy who confronted Pharaoh to let the Israelites go. He led Israel out of captivity through the Red Sea. He gave the law of God. He was a guy who had received all the plans for the Ark of the Covenant. He saw the face of God. He talked to God. And he says to Joshua, "Now it's time to arise and take your place to be who I called you to be." Joshua, it's time to step into your calling. It's time to step up, take that sword in your hand, and it's time to do what I've called you to do because I am with you. It's time to stand firm. In 2 Corinthians 1, it says in verse 21, "It is God who gives us, along with you, the ability to stand firm in Christ, for He has commissioned us." We have been given the ability to stand firm in Christ, stand firm in the calling that He's given us, stand firm in who He's called us to be bold and courageous. We are encouraged to stand firm and to know that all God's promises are yes and amen. In that same passage, it says, "For all God's promises have been fulfilled in Him, Jesus." That is why we say amen when we give glory to God through Christ. Part of fighting the good fight is holding on to what He's promised us. Part of fighting the good fight in our personal lives is to remember what He said to us personally. To remember the promises that He's given to us. Joshua was reminded, if you read the book of Joshua, he was reminded again and again of the promise that he was given here in Joshua 1. "Don't be afraid. No man can stand against you. I am with you." Now, what has He promised you? What has He promised you corporately, individually? Just think about what He's promised you individually right now. If He's given you promises, maybe some promises that haven't come to fruition yet. God wants to remind you of them this morning. He wants to say, "My word never returns to me void or empty. My word is truth."
Yes, it is.
And I want to remind you of them this morning.
Yes.
Joshua was one of the ones who received a promise in Numbers 13 to take the promised land. He was one of the ones, along with Caleb, two out of the 13 spies, who at the end of spying out the land, he was promised that he would be one of the ones to go into the promised land.
Yeah.
It took ages before he actually got into that land, but he held fast to what God had spoken to him.
Yeah.
And it turned out that he did. Yes, he went in. Caleb went in as well. He was in his 80s. They held fast to the promise that God gave them.
Hallelujah.
And sure enough, it's the same for us.
Yes.
You know, we might not see all of the promises that he's given us come to pass right away. That's okay. But we can stand firm, holding fast to what he's promised us. He wants to refresh old promises to you,
yes,
to remind us all that he said to us in this fight, this good fight of faith. If you want to turn to Numbers 13, we'll just look at that. Because this is one of my favorite passages where it involves Joshua. It also involves a guy named Caleb. Great name. I've always wanted to speak on Caleb and Joshua without people thinking, oh, I'm just doing it because that's my name, but it's not that completely. But I do relate to Caleb, as can any of us, and I do relate to Joshua in this. In Numbers 13, Joshua was sent with 12 other spies, Caleb being one of them. 13 spies in all, Moses sent to go look at the promised land, to go look and spy into Canaan. And basically, Moses asked them, I want you to go in, and I want you to spy out the land, just like any spy would do. They were asked to go see what kind of cities were there, what were the people like? Were they living in fortified cities? Were they living in just tents? Were the trees there? What was the food like? Was the fruit good? What was the land like? Were we able to cultivate it? Come back and give us a report. Bring some of that fruit back and let us know what the land looks like. 13 people were sent into this place. And they all came back, and they all saw the exact same land. They were told that it was a land flowing with milk and honey, which was a picture saying that it is a fruitful and abundant land. It wasn't. It might have been literally flowing with milk and honey. It would have been a place. Whenever I see this, I always think, well, there must have been a lot of cows and a lot of bees there. But I'm not sure that was the case. I'm sure it was just they're describing it's a place of abundance. It's good. It's a good place to go. It's a good place to take this land that God's promised us. And they come back after 40 days. They show everybody the fruit. They all saw the exact same thing. Caleb and Joshua were over here. They saw the same land as the other guys. Okay? The same exact land. Same place. They didn't go to different places. And they all come back. They give, first of all, the first initial report. The cities there are fortified. There's giants living there. It is definitely a land flowing with milk and honey. But the cities are big. And there's the descendants of Anak there who were considered giants. And they all give this report. But Caleb pipes up and he says, wait a minute. Now I believe we can surely go in and take this land. We've all seen the same thing. Yes, there's fortified cities. Yes, there's some big guys there. Yes, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. But we can surely go in and take this land. And the people sort of bounce back at Caleb and they say, no way. Are you serious? This place is way too strong. The people are way too big. We look like grasshoppers. We look like grasshoppers. We looked at ourselves, and we looked like grasshoppers. And in Numbers 14, after all this had happened, it says, then all the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night, and all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, would that we have died in the land of Egypt. And this was the people of Israel who came out of captivity, a place of it wasn't very nice where they came out of, and they were saying, wouldn't have been better if we died back there. I mean, these guys were really, really down at the minute. And it says, or would that we had died in the wilderness. Why is it that the Lord is bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to one another, let us choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the people of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who spied out the land, tore their clothes and said to all the congregation of Israel, the land which we had passed through to spy it out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Then all the congregation said to stone them with stones, but the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the people of Israel. So we see here that Joshua and Caleb are on one end of the spectrum. We believe we can take the land. We believe that what God has promised us is ours. We believe that what God has shown us is ours because the Lord is with us, and those things that we see, those people, although they're big, they're like bread to us. We can definitely take it. The other guys are saying, no way. Look at us. We're only grasshoppers in the eyes of these guys. We're only small. We cannot take this place. Look at the cities. They're way too big. They're fortified. We're definitely not going to do it. They physically saw the same thing. They physically went in and they saw the same thing. Now, Joshua and Caleb never denied that these guys were big. They never denied that the land, the cities in the land were fortified. They never denied those things. They knew that, you know, this was a big task to fill. But what they actually saw was completely different. And I believe one of the big differences of Joshua and Caleb to the others is in Numbers 13, verse 33, and it says, "And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, which were the giants, and we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them." How do you see yourself? How do you see yourself? To fight the good fight, we need to have a good confession and speak as though we've already won the victory. Although we're presented, and as Matthew said already this morning, although we have times of trouble, and although we have bad days, we're not denying that we're having bad days. But how do we see ourselves in those situations? What is our confession? Is our confession that, no, we can't take it anymore. I'm done. I'm just small. I'm never going to be able to see all that God has for me? Or is our confession a good confession, like Joshua and Caleb? There is no room for bad confessions in the army of the Lord. There's no room for it. We need to know who we are in Jesus. We need to know who He's made us to be. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. You are specifically chosen for this day, for this hour, for a time such as this. You are specifically called. You are God's representation and manifestation of the glory of God here on earth. You are the answer. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people set apart, called to be sons of the living God. You are like Christ in this world. No more telling lies over yourself. No more pity parties. It's time to step up and step into who God has called us to be. And I'm speaking to myself when I say that. Yes, you have times of trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. See who you are and see who I see who you are. Jesus says, look who you are. Look who I see you to be. Encourage one another in who you are. Encourage one another in who you are. No more grasshopper talk. No more grasshopper talk. It's time to rise as soldiers, as strong men and women, to rise to who we're called to be, a church victorious. Stand together on God's word, on what God has told you, and what God has spoken to you, as a body, as a families, as married couples. Don't look at what the facts say. Good. What is naturally presented to you. But look at what Jesus says. Amen. Look at what the word says. Lean on his word. If you want to turn to Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9. I always have trouble finding Ecclesiastes. I've got a new Bible, so I'm blaming it on that myself. It's a journaling Bible, So it's got nice little lines on the side. I've not made any journaling on this particular page yet, but I'm sure it will do. Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9, it says, two are better than one. And this verse is brought in when people get married a lot, but we can use it for this sin. It says this, it says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Joshua and Caleb were together in their confession. As the people of God, we need to be together. We need to be united, and that's why I love what was coming out of yesterday. We were encouraged to have unity, maturity. But we need to be together on this. We're in it together. We are in it together. And we see this in the Old Testament where there's amazing couples, as you will, where you have Joshua and Caleb, you have Naomi and Ruth, you have David and Jonathan, Elijah and Elisha. We need to stand together. Stand together. And if you watch any soldier movie or war movie, there's always going to be some sort of quote where a soldier never stands alone or something like that, where there's this American guy. That was a pretty good American accent, I think. Never leave a man behind. Have each other's backs. I don't even know where that's come from. Where you stand together and there's this camaraderie that comes when you watch. One of my favorite TV series is The Band of Brothers. And there's this epic story, real life story of this company called Easy Company, where they stand together and they end up taking Hitler's eagle's nest. And they go right into battle together, and there's this camaraderie where they're together. They're in it to win it. And everyone has each other's backs. Never leave a man behind, where they pick each other up. Even if one guy gets his leg blown off, I know it sounds gross, pick him up and they're walking out together. There's this real sense of camaraderie. It's no different with us as the body of Christ. We need to be together like a threefold cord, where it's you, me, and Jesus. You, me, and Jesus together. I believe that God wants you to take this city by storm. But you'll only do it together. You will only do it together. God isn't interested in a one-man band. He's not. You'll only do it together. And that's why He's created us as a body. One body, many parts. Turn to somebody and say, I need you. Right now, say, I need you. Now look at the person on the other side and say, you need me. That's truth. I need you, you need me. Because without one another, we're never going to see all that God wants us to see. One of my favorite movies is The Lord of the Rings. And in the first Lord of the Rings, I know I'm bringing movies. I love movies. Alex will tell you. I love them. And I love the sort of epic adventure type movies. Because it does something in my heart, because I know that God has called us to a great adventure. And there's that sense of adventure. I mean, when I was a kid, we used to break into random sewers and make tree forts in Canada. We were nuts. We wanted to go on these amazing adventures. We did. We actually broke into sewers. No word of a lie. We'd plan it all out. We'd get sort of metal cutters, and we'd go to the sewer entrance. And sewers in Canada, it wasn't like the waste or anything. It was water drainage, okay? So just in case you think we're not gross. And we're gross. But we used to cut away, and we this would be an operation that would take days. Me and my friends, we got 3 hours now. We can cut that bar away, and then we'll go back the next day. We'll cut that bar away. Okay, we need some petrol. Who's got the petrol so we can burn something when we're in there? And there was this sense of adventure. There was a real sense of adventure. We all had BB guns for no reason. I don't know what we're going to find in this sewer. Water, that's all it was. And we thought, what a great thing. We didn't care if we got lost. We didn't care where we ended. We didn't care how pitch black it was. Partly because one of the guys had a lighter that We made somebody go buy us in the store. Things like that. It was just an adventure. And Lord of the Rings is like that. And there's one part where it's called the Council of Elrond, where they're all getting ready to go on this epic adventure together. And there's Frodo, who's the main character, who's a hobbit, who I consider a, Canada would be the nation of hobbits. We're quite short, hairy feet, that type of thing. And he's got this ring and he has to take it to Mordor to burn the ring, to get rid of evil, basically. And there's this council of all these different nations represented, or different types of people. So you've got the elves, and you've got the dwarfs, and you've got the humans, and all these people sitting together. And then at the very end of this, the council leader, he says, "Who will go? Who will go with Frodo?" And Aragorn pipes up. He said, "If by my life or death I can protect you, I will. You have my sword." And Legolas stands up, who's an elf. "You have my bow." And Gimli stands up. "You have my axe." Samwise, one of Frodo's friends, who's also a hobbit, pops out of nowhere. "Mr. Frodo's not going anywhere without me." And Pippin and Merry, who are also hobbits, they run in. "We're coming too. You'll have to send us home tied up in the sack to stop us." But their sense of camaraderie, "We're in it together. We're going on this adventure together, and no one's going to stop us. I've got the bow. I've got the axe. I've got the sword. We're in it together." And it's the same together. We've all got different gifts. God's given us different personalities. We're not to be the same. God forbid everybody be like me. I like me. You should like yourselves as well. We're in it together. Yes. Words have power of life or death, and we need to speak life to each other. We need to speak life to each other. And if we're speaking trouble, then trouble is all we're going to get. We need to speak life, life, life. We need to see what he sees. And if you see what he sees, then you need to speak it over one another. Yes. And you will see what he sees.
Yes,
see what he sees for each other. See what he sees for each other. You know, we might see a place where there are giants and a place where there are fortified cities. But we need to know that our commander is bigger than the enemy.
Yes, amen.
Is bigger than any situation that is in our lives personally, any circumstance.
Yeah.
This is for us personally and corporately.
Yeah.
If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? He entered the promised land, Joshua, with Caleb years later, as I mentioned before. And in Joshua 13, before they went into the promised land, God speaks to Joshua and he says, "Joshua, you're old, you're well advanced in years, but you still have all of these places you need to take." And he lists all these places. You're old, you're advanced in years. I'm not looking at anybody in particular, but there's still land you need to take. Even though you may be old, there's still more for you. You're never too young to enlist in the army of God. There's no 18-year limit, 18-year-old age limit or anything like that. Don't disqualify you. You're not too young or too old. And lastly, if you want to turn to Joshua 5, so we're to be bold and courageous. We're to see what he sees. We're to have a good confession. All to fight the good fight of faith. And in Joshua 5, verse 13. This is one of my favorite parts of the Bible. Later on in Joshua 6, it's the amazing story about how Jericho fell to Joshua and the walls of Jericho fall. And as I was praying, I was thinking about Jericho and how there was walls that it said in the Bible that no one went in or no one went out. And I was thinking about Coventry and the Ring Road, where no one goes in and no one goes out. There are times when I went in and I had to call out, 'cause I won't be back for about 3 weeks. I do not know where I'm going. But on a serious note, when I read this, I thought of you. I thought of you here in your mission to bring the love of God to Coventry. You're called to see victory in this place. Yes. You will see people saved. You will see people added. And there's a few things that we can take from this story. And before the fall of Jericho, Joshua, it says in chapter 5, verse 13, when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said, "Are you for us or are you for our adversaries?" And he said, "No, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take off your sandals. The place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. He lifted up his eyes and he looked. It says in the first part there, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. And I believe that this is Jesus. If it was an angel, the angel probably would say, "Don't worship me." If it was a man, the man would say, "Don't worship me." Because we're not to worship men, we're not to worship angels. And therefore, I believe it was a picture of Jesus. And Joshua looked and he saw Jesus. And lastly, we need to see the commander of the army. What do you see? What do you see? Do you see the commander? In Hebrews 12:1, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run the race with endurance, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." Look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And when we fight the good faith, we look to Jesus. We look to Jesus. In 1 John 1, it says, "The one who existed from the beginning is the one we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is Jesus Christ, the Word of life." John's saying, look, we saw him. We saw him. Who have you seen? Who's your commander? Who have you seen? When we see him, we hear him, and our response naturally is to worship him. Our response naturally is to worship him. And when we fight the good faith, we need to live lives of worship, of prayer. Joshua, later on in Joshua, later on somewhere, it says that he prayed and he saw the sun stop still in the sky. He prophesied. He declared, and it was the only time where the sun stopped dead in the sky for a whole day. Joshua was a man of prayer, a man of worship. And when you see him, and when you hear him, our response should be of worship. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. Our aim is to please Jesus. Our aim is to live a life of worship worthy of God. A life that just points to him in everything. And to fight this good fight, we need to be people who live a life that just points to Jesus. Worship and presence is so important. It was so important to Joshua. When you read the fall of Jericho, I won't read it today, but you see they go around the city, and it says, go around the city, and the first 6 days they go around once. The last day they go around seven times. They're blowing the trumpet continually. They're blowing the trumpet continually. And they're bringing the Ark of the Covenant with them to take this city, to take the promises that you have in your life. Then worship and presence is so key. Yes. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. You are filled with life. And we don't carry an ark anymore, but we carry God within us. Yes. The presence of God. This is for us individually to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Joshua saw the walls of Jericho fall because he obeyed the commander. He did what the commander said. He worshipped. He sent priests around continually blowing trumpets. The presence was with him. He carried the ark. And I know, I don't know if you guys still do. I know you used to do worship on the streets. You need to continue to do that. I believe that that will be key for you guys. And I had a vision where you guys were worshiping and it was like the ring road just fell. And where nobody could go in or out, you're making a way where people can come into the presence of God. You're making a way where people can come in and you're revealing Christ to people. Keep doing that. I was talking to somebody recently and they said there was an Emma and a Rupert that go here. Are they here? That are sort of looking at evangelism and reaching out. Is that right? Am I right in saying that? God is going to give you more strategy. I don't know if you've got things that he's already given you. I'm sure he has. But I believe he's going to give you more and more insight to how to take this city. And he's going to give you all it. But I just felt for you guys specifically that he's going to give you more and more insight for the elders here. To take this city, to show the love of God in new and fresh ways. It says in Hebrews 11 that by faith the walls came down. By faith the walls of Jericho came down. We need to fight the good fight of faith. This faith is a faith we came into when we asked Jesus to come into our lives. This faith is also a faith that we have ongoing. When things might come against us, we need to be a people of faith that stand and overcome. It says in 1 Timothy 1:18, it says, this charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, holding faith and good conscience. By rejecting this, some have made shipwreck of their faith. Holding the faith. Don't let your faith become shipwreck. Don't let it become a disaster. And I know it won't for you guys, because you are a strong community, a community of the King. So we're to fight the good fight. Be strong and courageous. The Lord is with you. And if God is for you, who can be against you? If God is for you, who can be against you? In your life personally, there are promises over your life that you might not have seen come into fruition. Take heart. Yes. Take heart, for he has overcome the world. Yes. He has overcome. Amen. And that which he has said to you will not return to him empty. Amen. What he has given to you is truth. You're going to see it happen. Yes. Keep the faith. Know who you are in Jesus. Know who you are in Christ. Yes. The Lord is with you. Jesus, the commander, is with you. Fight the good fight of faith. Focus on the commander. Focus on Jesus as you run the race. Yes, it is a race. Yes, it means you need to run and you need to put things into practice, but keep focused on the prize. Jesus, Jesus, it's all for him. Why are you in the city of Coventry? Jesus. Amen. To show the love of Christ. Amen. No, we're not waging a physical battle. It's spiritual, to show the love of Christ, to see the darkness of the enemy go away, flee. Have a voice. Have a voice. In the story of Jericho, at the end, when they saw the walls fall, they all raised up one voice, and the walls came down. Have a voice in this city. Make sure you have a prophetic voice, a voice. Let people know what you believe. Let people know who you love. Let people know what you believe. Have a voice. Have a voice. Have a voice. Have a voice. In November 1843, the Gettysburg newspaper, the Republican compiler, printed what it claimed to be a verbatim report of a speech made to the Republican forces by Reverend Joab Prout on the eve of the Battle of Brandywine. This is a real battle that happened. And he said this: "Soldiers, tomorrow morning we will go forth in battle. Your unworthy minister will march with you, invoking God's aid in the fight. Need I exhort you to fight the good fight for your homesteads, and for your wives, and for your children? There is a call to rise up.
Yes.
There is a call for you to rise up individually, to be those who live in victory. Yes, in this world you will have trouble, but what is your confession? Be a person that fights the good fight of faith. Rise up together corporately. Take this city. Take the land which he has given you. Our commander is standing with you. And it says that he had a drawn sword. I love that verse. When Joshua looked up, he saw the commander of the Lord's army. And he said that he saw him with a drawn sword. God's ready. Are you ready? It's an epic adventure. Like the ones you see in the movies sometimes, but even better. Even better. It's even better than breaking into sewers. It's even better. This life that you're called to is exciting. It's full of life. It's full of greatness. You're all called. Each and every one of you is called to rise as one body, as one voice. In 2 Timothy 4:7, bear in mind at the very start, Paul encourages Timothy to fight the good fight. Paul says to Timothy in the second book, to finish us, it says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And I have kept the faith.
Yes. Amen.
Let's let that be our confession at the end of our lives.
Yes. Amen.
Let's let that be our confession as we go out from here.
Amen.
That we will fight the good fight.
Yeah.
Amen. We'll fight the good fight.